Guess what decision we're about to make.
Horrible decision. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Horrible Decision.
Oh God.
You didn't like that intro either?
No, when you said another, there is someone who was like, y'all ain't gonna make it till May. We might not, nigga.
Well, we here though. We here. It's another episode of Horrible Decisions. I'm your girl, Mandy B, a.k.a. Debt Bitch, a.k.a. Full Court Pumps, a.k.a. I own all the a.k.a.s, God damn it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I'm sitting next to this hoe. Tell
them
your name.
Hi, I'm Weezy. And you guys, I'm fucking dog crazy right now. If you're watching the YouTube, we have the cutest dog in here. And I really want to introduce the guest who's more attractive right. than the dog. But I just can't get over this.
We've never had a dog.
Technically, it's your pet. How on brand is that?
You brought your pet to this.
I brought my pet.
We have Troy here. Shout out to Troy. I'm super, super, super excited that we finally got to bring you onto the show.
How long have we been talking about this?
It's been a very long time. I want to let you guys know how I met Troy. Super amazing. One of you guys' favorite guests here on our show, King Noir. So me and King Noir went out for drinks and he was like, maybe a class is kind of like, I'm meeting my teacher. My teacher's going to come. You were his teacher, really. So, guys, if y'all watch King Noir's videos and wonder how he does everything he does, I actually got to see him practice live with that. You guys know that there's kind of safety measures around BDSM and making sure that you're not hurting the person that's on the receiving end. And, again, I first met Troy, and she was like, this is how you hold this leather flog and this weight and this paddle. And I guess go ahead and introduce kind of what you do and why. That's how I met you.
So my name's Olivia Troy. Pronouns she, her. Please call me Troy.
Of course.
And I've been in the BDSM community for a minute and a half. And and have been kind of just like studying all different aspects of it and practicing and having a really good time doing it. And so, and over time, I became a consultant for film and television that had, and theater too, that had like BDSM components.
How did they find you? Someone's like, yo, we know this.
Yeah, basically. It was just
really?
Word of mouth. Yeah.
But like, is there sexual consultants generally for TV when it comes to scenes like this?
There can be. I mean, you know, they're different and there are just not many of us. And sometimes what happens is it's just somebody knows somebody. And, you know, because.
Well, why ain't nobody call us?
We be telling y'all we be wrong and shit. I don't think we're really experts, for real, for real.
Honestly,
like, we are, but we not.
I did some like not consulting, but punch up for a sex scene where they wanted like basically it was like something was supposed to go wrong, but you don't know what it is yet. That's what punch up is. And I was in a room with other writers and everybody's giving their credits. This guy's like, yeah, I did Curb Your Enthusiasm. Da, da, da. And like, what about you? I was like, oh, my host is a sex podcast. And I honestly don't even know why I'm here after that. And they're like, oh, yeah, well, like, you're the one who talks about sex openly. You probably hear people talk about jokes all the time. Like, when we get in there, figure out what's funny. Figure out what really happens during sex. And when I figured out the couple was black, I was like, we making her fucking wig come off.
Oh, easy.
Hands down. Wig's coming off. And they're like, excuse me, that was in Dear White People, so we can't do that. Do you remember that?
Yeah, wow.
So they were like, rewrite that scene. And I just really didn't know why I was hired. And I realized, like, people are looking for someone in sex. Or if you're someone online that has presence in food, maybe they'll bring you in for that. Like, or fitness. And that's a real fucking thing.
But mm-hmm. How long have you been doing this for film and television? And are you able to, of course, we're going to talk about the one show that you guys have been telling us to talk about.
Yeah.
But can you tell us the shows that you've been a part of, maybe helping with consulting?
So I started out doing Broadway shows. So the first one I did was a show called Trust, which had Zach Braff and Bobby Cannavale and Sutton Foster.
Those are white people?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know
Zach
them.
Zach Braff. Why does that name sound familiar?
I think he was on Scrubs.
Okay.
Oh. He was.
Yes.
Okay.
And so I did that show. And then next came a immersive theater thing called Queen of the Night, which was sort of like Sleep No More, but a little bit more
Cirque du Soleil. That's my shit. Yeah. You guys have heard me talk about Sleep No More when I talked about being masked up on a date.
You have.
And you get to walk in and be in the scene. That shit's dope as fuck.
Yeah. So this one was... People would, the performers would bring guests in for one-on-one experiences. So there would be like a knife play scene or a rope bondage scene.
Do they lick you like that?
Yeah. although there was like some performers would actually kiss the guests or say, tell me a secret or tell me a fantasy.
That is so fucking hot.
It is incredible.
Can you imagine so a time that, where you could make out?
I also want to say that my boyfriend just told me about this place and that it's closed now and it doesn't exist. And he was like, you would have loved it, especially because, like, of course, the box is still open and hopefully it opens soon enough, like back to what it was like. But we literally just had the conversation about Sleep No More. Literally just had this conversation.
I could see them socially distancing that, though.
You could. I mean, and
because you just have more,
they also wear the masks. So you
actually have
a mask on already.
So like basically you're just following actors into different scenes, right? And it used to be a lot of people, but I could see them doing it if the actor has to be a certain amount of feet away. And they already are. You're not too close. There are times where the actors do come up to you and they'll touch you or bring you in a room for a second. But yeah, you are already wearing a mask. You're right. It's not covering your mouth, but.
And then off of Broadway.
And then after Broadway. So after Queen of the Night, then I got invited to Billions, which is on Showtime.
And all y'all been telling us to watch Billions and do it for even our cinema on Patreon.
Billions?
Billions has mad BDSM scenes and like people that go and pay for sex and prostitution. And
I would be interested
really
in that.
It's really heavy.
They named the dominatrix on Billions after me.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Talk your shit, queen. Look, actually, the humble flex that our guests have been bringing.
That's fire. Did you write the script or you just coordinated with?
No, I consulted with the writer's room a little bit. But then once I started working with the showrunners and talking with them, they said, oh, you know what? Well, we have this character.
I want to ask you a question about something that's mainstream BDSM besides bonding.
Which she also co-wrote, and that's we're gonna talk about bonding.
Yeah, I co-wrote and co-produced bonding.
50 Shades of Grey.
Yes.
As a movie.
Yes.
What justice do you think it gave to the BDSM community?
Not very much at all.
Why?
Well, hold on. I will tell you, the one great thing about 50 Shades of Grey is that were it not for the massive success and popularity of the book, the movie, all of it, then Billions wouldn't have happened. Bonding wouldn't have happened. Like all of these other stories wouldn't have happened.
What do you think? So I haven't watched it in a long time, but it was on Bravo the other day. And I was just clicking on cable because I was watching Wendy Williams' documentary. You know when you have a moment, you're watching cable, you just do cable all day.
Right.
And I'm watching this shit and I'm like, okay, this ain't that bad. Like the contract thing is something I've heard about and stuff like that. But this obviously isn't as intense as what I've heard of BDSM to be, but I'm curious, like, what are some things you can name that we might have saw that we were like, absolutely not, this shouldn't have been done like this?
In 50 Shades of Grey, well, most of it was just, he was a stalker. It just, you just excused it because he had money. Mm. But the fact of the matter is that he showed up at her job and said, like, you know, I'm going to take you this place and you're just going to come with me. He just, you know, he coerced her.
And we thought it was sexy because he was sexy.
Right, exactly. Because he's hot and sexy or whatever. But there was no consent in any of that. It was coercion, perhaps, but not consent. And there's a difference.
Mm. Could you break down real quick? Because I know we've talked about consent a lot. But even in that film, the way the audience is like, that was kind of sexy though. What is the difference between consent and coercion?
Well, consent is freely given. And it's, they talk about consent as what's called fries, which is freely given, reversible, enthusiastic. Well, hold on, let me spell fries correctly. F-R-I-E-S. So freely given.
It's okay. I'll be fucking up words too, girl.
And I'm not even sure I'm going to be able to remember all of these, but I know it's like freely given, reversible, enthusiastic is one of them. Informed, which means that you understand what you're saying yes to.
Mm. Oh.
So freely given is... you ask me and I freely say yes. Reversible means that just because I say yes now doesn't mean I can't say no later.
Which we say all the time here.
Right.
Weezy for sure.
Enthusiastic is... Well,
sorry.
Because I changed my mind a lot.
Right. Informed is that I know what I'm saying yes to.
Mm.
Enthusiastic is that I'm saying yes, like I'm like not a yeah, but more like,
Yeah.
You know, and now I forget what the S is for, but that's what you want consent to be like. And coercion in this case is like, hey, my car's outside. Come with me.
And there's a scene I'm just thinking about. He says, if you roll your eyes at me again, I'm going to bend you over and spank you. And she didn't give consent, but it seemed like it was fun watching. She never said okay or anything. And now I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, we're looking at it like it's sexy, but it really wasn't consensual.
Exactly.
And he did it and she liked it, but...
Right. But the thing is that, like, like, King will probably talk about this too. It's like, when you actually have, like, a true power exchange and a true control, and it is a consensual experience, then you can say... If you do that again, I'm going to put you over my knee.
Got it.
And you're going to like that, aren't you?
Yes, I am, Troy.
You want that, don't you?
I do.
She love role playing. Don't let me look. But
so do it again.
Okay.
So got it. It's just a great way of asking.
Yeah.
I do like that. We're going to get into our Black sexcellence, y'all. So
I want that shirt.
Oh, I know you did. Yes. Y'all know we got the merch. Y'all go ahead and cop that. So our Black sexcellence, for those of you who may just be joining us for the first time, maybe the last time, our Black sexcellence is specifically women. Well, we've done kind of men too. So Black people in history that have been activists in the sexual revolution, so to speak. And so today's Black sexcellence is Andrea Jenkins. Jenkins actually made history in November of 2017 by becoming the first openly transgender Black woman elected to public office in the U.S., according to LGBTQ advocacy groups and researchers. Jenkins, a Democrat, was one of two openly trans people to win a seat on the Minneapolis City Council in 2017. She is also a published poet and an oral historian at the University of Minnesota.
Do you remember when that happened? They were talking about someone who was trans who was on the board of something. And I remember that a few years ago and I was like, what? And then we just like all retweeted her picture, but we didn't know what it was.
That's what it is. That was what the retweet was.
I was like, look, Black people office something. I think except for Ben Carson,
the Health and Human Service guy?
I'm sorry, not Ben
Carson. Who is Ben Carson?
Who was the Black guy that was running for president and he'd be lying about the...
Don't let me guess it because I was about to say.
Oh my God, you guys, if you're listening, scream it into the fucking speakers right now.
Is it Ben Carson?
Is it Ben Carson?
Ben Carson.
The Black guy that ran for president, he was a heart surgeon.
Sleepy Ben Carson. Yeah, that's Ben Carson.
Oh,
I was about to say Andrew.
Yeah, that's
Gillum,
not the only Black person in politics I am not with. Him and Candace Owens.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm going to retweet you when you win something.
Okay. You like Van Jones?
Who? Van Jones?
Yeah.
Oh,
you know what's so sucky about that? And y'all don't drag me for this. Before I knew he was problematic, he was on my flight going to LA for All-Star Weekend and I thought he was fine. And then I...
We both saw some fucking news people because I had saw Don Lemon on a flight.
Yeah.
I don't know. Van Jones is different to me because he's not really someone who's like political party. Like he's a commentator, so.
Okay, yeah.
Candace Owens, I guess, also
why are you making that face? Yeah.
It's a long story.
Did you beat his ass?
All right. So we're going to get into our vanilla shit. Our vanilla shit actually is a Variety article. I do want to get into bonding.
Yes.
And that experience, you co-writing it, but also being on set as the intimacy coordinator, what that meant. And I do want to talk first about season one, because if we just talked about 50 Shades of Grey and how people felt it was a misrepresentation of the BDSM community and what it really falls under, I want to know if you could walk through what you feel like fell short in season one and where you really stepped in to make sure things were represented correctly in season two.
Okay. So, all right. Well,
oh, yeah. I'm
let me go.
To you, girl.
Here we go. All right. So I was brought in as a consultant and a writer for season two. When season one came out, I watched it. I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was entertaining and I thought it was cute. Like I personally didn't have any problems with it because I recognize it's television and I recognize that as television, there are going to be things that are fantastical about it. And one of the things that I thought that the show's creator, his name is writer Doyle, one of the things I thought that Ryder did really well was just sort of create this very bright look at BDSM and sex work and pro domination, and all of that. So I thought it was entertaining. I thought it was funny. I don't have a problem with it. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people in the community, particularly sex workers, you know, there were a few things that came out, you know, and some of it was, you know, like just quibbles about, oh, you know, her corset doesn't fit or the rope ties are wrong or things like that. But what the real complaint about it was, wasn't really so much about the show as it was about the marketing of it, because Bonding season one came out right as Sesta Fosta was really deep, you know, like really impacting sex workers. And, you know, and especially how sex workers were able to show up on social media. Like they had lost their advertising access on like things like Backpage or Craigslist. And Twitter was, you know, shadow banning everybody and kicking them off or whatever. And then Netflix season one comes out, Bonding season one comes out. And the Netflix Twitter account for Bonding had, you know, instantly blue check mark verified, which doesn't happen to sex workers.
Right. That's why Weezy ain't blue check works. That's why
in my bio.
She ain't. That's why she ain't got a blue check. For real. Like, well, our agent went to verify both of us and they just.
Same day.
Same day. I literally, my blue check immediately came up. He's like, we've submitted like 3-4 times for you now, Weezy. They won't give her a blue check. And I guess because she's a sex worker.
No, I have sex educator in my bio.
And they won't.
And then I think I got one. I think Charlamagne tried for me. And him and Andrew were like, yeah, it's the sex thing. And I was like, I'm not fucking taking it out anymore. Like,
good.
To me, I just felt like, yes, like the blue check would have helped me, you know, with getting better advertisers and things like that. But this is what the fuck I do. So like, how am I going to take it out?
Right.
You know what I mean? It just felt weird.
And you guys, Sesta Fosta, we've talked actually a lot about, which is crazy because in the pandemic, OnlyFans has become just literally talked about like the most normal thing ever. But Sesta Fosta is what you guys, the Pussy Poet came on and said, and King Noir's page has been deleted multiple times, Jet Setting Jasmine as well. And just a lot of our guests, Raquel Savage has talked about it. Basically, it is almost also a target to the black sex workers as well. There's a huge difference in the community.
It is levied far more against
Bella
black
Thorne
sex workers.
Yeah. Last night, I apologize for anyone. I don't know when we're going to post this, but just seriously, this really pissed me off. I like her. I think she's fun. I know a lot of sex workers don't. She posted this video of her and a Bella Danger in the pool. Like, can you imagine two black girls?
Oh, yeah, that would have been deleted.
Bruh.
Immediately.
Like, yeah. They're making out in the pool. One hand is on the other titty. They're kissing. And I'm just like, y'all don't give a fuck when these people are lit. Like Kim Kardashian putting up her ass. I don't know. It's fucked up.
It is.
Y'all need to flag them hoes. These are the real hoes.
Right.
Well, you too. You half of a real hoe. I'm just saying.
Fuck right, you.
Anyway. So what happened in season one was that the Twitter account was instantly verified. And the opening message was, you know, Mistress May now taking appointments, now accepting appointments, which
technically is
sex
also,
workers, yes, sex cannot, workers cannot do.
You and donations and like, roses.
Right.
Different language.
Right. So so because of that, it was just like, well, isn't that, I mean, and it's really more of a political argument too, to just sort of say like, okay, how is it that this show can do this, can like pretend to be a sex worker and have all of this leeway, whereas actual people who are trying to survive don't have that privilege.
Damn, I need that clout.
What you mean?
I mean, I basically got to put an asterisk in sex to get checked. But Netflix, when you get the Netflix money, you're just bam.
Yeah. Yeah, they can do anything.
So that was the major complaint about season one. And so, you know, but what we're also talking about is representation. And when the show's creator like heard all of that, you know, he heard that feedback. And it's like, you know, most people would say like, oh, fuck them hoes. Or
like, fuck them kids.
Yeah.
Fuck them, right.
Like, I'm just going to do this. I'm doing fine. But actually what he did is he listened and he said,
that's amazing.
Okay, how can I be responsible and how can I be accountable? Mm-hmm. How can I do better? Mm-hmm. And he said, I'm going to bring in somebody from, you know, I'm going to bring somebody in to help with that representation. You know, because part of it was also saying like, oh, you were telling a story about sex workers. You're telling a story about the BDSM community and you have nobody from this community who's informing your story. And so that was, you know, it's like, you need to bring these voices in. You can't just, like, don't talk about somebody without.
Like, are you a rapper that's a trapper? Or.
Right.
Really, bro?
Are you rapping about trapping?
I mean, technically, I mean, even Rick Ross, bitch, he was a CO before he was a rapper, talking about moving weight.
But like, I heard, well, I guess I shouldn't say it, but I did hear,
you
there's some big rappers out there that I heard really trapping. I mean, 21 Savage talks about this shit on The Breakfast Club, though. He was like, yo, I was a real fucking trapper. Like, I like.
From British Columbia.
But, you know, it's like a real shit over there, but, you know what I'm saying? Like,
nah, he's from Zone 6. Zone 6, shout out 21 Savage.
Zone 6.
No, bro, like, I used to live in Atlanta. I could shout out Zone 6.
Your hair tells us.
Your
diamond hoops, honey. Boy, do we know.
From the motherfucking hair store, 99 cents, you know how I do. And nah, it can only stay in for like an hour before my ear starts like, bitch, green. Take me out.
I borrowed Mandy's hoops for a shoot we had. And like, my...
Don't do me.
No, but you know what I'm talking about? The ones that I brought back. Those fucking earrings.
She said, I was like, think these are yours. Because the way my ear was. My bad, bro.
Honestly, they say the bigger the hoop, the bigger the hoe. I'll be honest with you. Mine should be bigger than this.
They should be way bigger
but
than
my
this.
Lobes are too tame.
Oh, my God.
No. But I do think what you're saying, like, we hear about this shit of rap music. I was making a joke, but seriously, like, because rappers be telling stories that aren't really there.
Do you think they have drug consultants come in and be like, nah, bro, the way you just rap that verse... That ain't how it worked.
What's the Netflix show that came out that was Top Boys?
Top Boy, yeah.
But imagine if they brought real drug dealers in there. Drake wrote
that. Like, Drake was a part of that.
But maybe Drake brought some of his shadows in there.
So. I really hate you. They had shadows for consultants.
Top Shadows, the movie.
Wow.
So, season two, it really does, I think, have a larger focus on Mistress May. And how
Mistress May and her mentor, Mistress Mira.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So, how involved were you? And I know, again, if you guys watch it, King Noir and Jasmine were in there. You helped with casting them as well. What were those scenes like? Because those were classes. And I know, like, you teach classes as well.
They're in the show?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, girl! My God.
King Noir on like, some bar dancing shirtless, because he's always shirtless. I don't think he owns a shirt.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And then
why does he need to?
Yeah. That's a better question.
He does not need a shirt. And then Jet Setting Jasmine was one of the classes.
Yeah, it was one of the doms. So we brought in people from the community who are actual sex workers, doms,
Matt,
sex
I know
educators.
You didn't, because me and Weezy could have been in hell.
I'm going to be real with you.
I'll send a call out next time.
Troy, I think we should just be at the bar spectating the shit next time. You know what I'm saying? Or we could bring him in on a podcast.
And what's crazy is even when Jasmine came and did our show, she was coming off set
with
Netflix. So super dope.
So we brought in people. So writer said, okay, you know, like, how do I do this better? So he not only brought me into the writer's room, you know, and brought me into the writer's room sight unseen. Like, he walked in, he's like, I didn't know you were Black. I didn't know. Like, he was just like, I just knew I wanted you here. And he brought me in, and it was just the three of us. It was him, Nana Mensa, who plays Mistress Mira, was the other writer. And writer, the show's creator.
Hold on, the mistress we see in scene one, like when the show starts?
Yeah.
She's a writer?
Yeah, she's a writer. Oh, she's a writer-director.
She's not a dom.
No, she's not a dom. No, she's an actor.
I felt that.
Oh, wow.
She's an actor.
She really acted really good.
Yes. Yeah.
She did really, really.
We spent a lot of time talking.
Look, she
was like, go ahead, really take
me.
Your
it's really me. Get real quick into our sex topics, because I do want to continue more for our horrible decision. I want to talk about, again, the contraptions, the cost of it, because, again, we had little floggers in here, and normally, it's not really super expensive for the things that we may get on Adam and Eve. Damn, can we bleep them out? They ain't paying for it. No, let me stop. I'm just playing.
They so lame.
They not. But
we talking about the Bible.
Yo, shut up. So we're going to get into our hors d'oeuvre real quick. I actually did want to give my sex tip for this week is actually a sex tip from a professional dominatrix. And please correct it if it's wrong, okay?
I want to hear this.
And then I would love you to give a tip, and then we're going to round it up with you for a tip.
All right.
Okay. So this one is from Huffington Post. This dominatrix actually said, take orgasms out of the equation.
That was going to be my tip.
Damn.
Are you serious?
Wait, for real?
Yes.
Did you give it? No. Well, let me hear what they say, and okay. then I'll elaborate.
Okay, and you can add to it.
I'll refine it.
So try having some intimate time together without ending it in an orgasm. Flirt, make out, dirty talk. Maybe you stimulate each other's genitals a little. Maybe you completely avoid it. Play with sexual arousal. Get super horny together, but no orgasming. Talk about what you liked and didn't like afterwards with your partner. You may learn something new about yourself. So much of our sexual lives is determined by a drive towards orgasm. A lot of BDSM is what happens when you stop making orgasms the sole or primary purpose of being sexual. It's about experimenting and pushing the boundaries of your mental turn-ons and physical responses. When you intentionally remove orgasm as a target, it forces you to open up your idea of what sexual interaction is all about and start exploring that newfound space. This is from Mistress Iris, who is a professional dominatrix in Los Angeles.
Yes, I know Mistress Iris.
Do you?
You know everybody's shit.
You know everybody. So that was her tip. And you agree? Would you add anything to that?
I agree. Well, so my sex tip was going to be, was specifically actually to say, deny your man an orgasm.
Oh.
So.
Edging.
No, not edging. No, just
they don't get to come at all.
You don't get to come. And so I've heard y'all talk about chastity devices.
Yeah.
Chastity cages. So that's a extreme way of making sure that they don't come. But the thing is that if you control a man's orgasm, you control him.
And his wallet.
Yes.
Oh, and that too.
You can, well, because the wallet will open up if you control the orgasm.
I get it. You can't come until you buy me.
Yes, exactly. I mean, that's what it is. And so like the fun part is if you actually can put a chastity cage on it, like lock it up and just say like, you can get out of this once you get me off. Or you can get out of this after you buy me this. You know, you can make it conditional, but make it fun. But you don't have to have the cage. I mean, like you can just sort of make it part of your experience for that day or that evening where you spend all day, you know, saying like, you don't get to come until I've come.
I'm doing this shit tonight.
Are you?
Until you come, you don't get to come until I've come six times. You don't get to come until you make me breakfast. You don't get to, you know, like, and like, let's just see how long you can wait. And if you can try it for a day, try it for a night, then try it for a day, then try it for two or three days. And once they actually associate their pleasure, like they're coming with you.
Sky's the limit.
You want?
I really like that a lot.
What do you want?
Because I like holding I like orgasms being earned.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to have a dom that like would tell me when I'm allowed to come. And I thought that was so much fun, but I never have done it in the reverse.
But it's also,
like leveraging gifts. Cause that's my love language.
It's hard. I had a friend recently, she's a mutual friend actually. And she broke up with her boyfriend because he wasn't coming. And
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And so, a part of that.
Did she not tell this on her podcast?
She may have. But it was like, they had been dating for months and weeks, so much so to where she was like, I kind of want to have a threesome with him just to see if he comes with someone else. Mm-hmm. Like, and it was so frustrating. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of us as women tie a man's orgasm to their pleasure or liking of us.
What was the reason? What was the reason?
He didn't know. She didn't know.
So but here's the thing. When I started having sex, I didn't have an orgasm.
Most women don't.
For a long time. But they all did.
She said he had one the first time they had sex.
And there was never any concern about the fact that I wasn't having one.
Mm.
And so once I actually kind of understood that, it was just like, oh, wait, then I don't feel guilty at all about you not. It's like I went a long time without it. And it's not
your only partner. You don't think you'd be like.
Well, it doesn't have to be permanent. But it's.
No. He never comes.
Oh, currently?
I don't think you're going to get. He never came. As much as they were having sex.
He came the first time and he never came again.
And he never came again. It started like eating at her that he never came.
Okay, but did it eat at him? Did it bother him?
That's a good question because I don't know. I don't know. We didn't get both sides of the story.
Let's call it, bitch.
You want to call her?
Kinda. You cool with that?
I'm fine.
Let's call her.
And we were just texting earlier. Wait, is there a way to make sure we can hear her?
I'm just going to put it up to right here.
Okay, you got it?
But we gotta fucking know.
We gotta find out because, and I would like for even your input on if we overthought that.
We're on the podcast. We're we'll on cut air, this out girl. If you don't want us to talk about it. Can we talk about your boyfriend that never came?
Yeah, I don't care. Fuck him.
Okay. This is Troy. We're here with her. Mandy's also behind this. So she had a great question because we were talking about how he never came and it got on your nerves. You weren't okay with him ever coming. But Troy asked, was he okay with never coming?
He was fine. He would just stop.
Yeah. When you came, he would stop.
Yeah. Like he was just no. Yeah. And then like, cause you know, I could keep going. At some point he would just stop and be like, okay.
Yeah. And then he would just say, okay.
Yeah. Like, and then at one point he even was like, this never happened. Like with you before. I'm like, yeah, no, nigga. No.
So when you broke up with him, did you literally say like, either you come or I'm done?
Well, I was like, well, what do you think? Well, first of all, I ended up breaking up with him. He ended up breaking up with me because I cheated on him. Oh, but prior to that, he was like, I was like, so what are we going to, what's going to happen if you never come? And I'm like, what do you think we could do about that? I was like, because obviously, like, I want you to come. And obviously, you want to come. And he was just like, I guess we'll just see what happens. And like, that wasn't okay. That wasn't good enough for me. I'm like, do you have a kink that I need to know about? Or something like, what are you? I think honestly, what it ended up being is that he was nervous. And I think that he knew that I had a lot of sexual experiences and was intimidated. And I think he got in his head. One time he told me, he knew after 7 songs that it wasn't going to happen. And I said, why did you know?
He was counting songs?
Yes.
Do you have a question? Like,
but why was it so important to you that he come? If you were having pleasure, if you enjoyed it.
It makes me feel like I got the job done.
So, but if he wasn't complaining, if he wasn't saying, oh, you know, like, why am I not getting my nut? If he wasn't complaining, what did it matter?
Because I'm programmed to believe that if my vagina is performing up to par, this is what happens. You get weak. You make these noises. That's my winning moment. And if I don't hear those noises and see those toes curl, what the fuck is going on?
We just talked about that.
Are you a giver, Mila?
I am.
All right.
I don't know.
The kid's turning into good moms, bad choices. Right, well, no. When we bring you guys back, we'll talk.
Yeah, let's not talk about.
We love you, Mila.
In front of your child,
say
please.
Bye to everybody.
Say bye to everyone, Mila.
Bye, love you.
But see, that's exactly what we just said. As women, we are programmed to for the climax, for the ending of the movie, for the that's all, folks, right. To be the man,
right? However, how many times have you been with a man and you haven't come? And it's not that you didn't like it. It's not that you didn't enjoy yourself. It's not that there was anything wrong with it. It's not that you weren't satisfied at the end. It just didn't happen for you.
I have been satisfied without coming.
Me too. Right. But we're conditioned to be like, oh, no, that's all fine. I'm good. It's just hard for me to come
Excuses for a man.
I gotta be honest
come
with you. I would say I've stopped doing that.
I
masturbate during sex now.
Oh,
like full on while you're in me. If I feel like my clit's not being like, because I mean, I need a lot of stimulation, and normally it's on top. I can get it without touching it, but like. If I can't come vaginally and I know it's about to be over because you're about to come, I'm like, okay, yeah, no, you keep pumping because I'm going to keep fucking rubbing my clit.
Wait, so can I ask real quick? So like I've had partners before who were like unsatisfied for the fact that I did not come, right? So what do you say or do in order to, this is a bad word, but to make up for it?
Good question. I want you to answer that. That's a really good question.
How do I make up for that? Because then like it was 2 different partners and like, they felt, not at the same time, but they felt bad.
And dick ain't coming either. Go ahead and tell the world your dick don't come.
Yeah, no, that takes me a long time. It takes me a long time. Like, I know what to do if that's TMI, but you know what I mean? Like, it don't feel bad if it's not from penetration.
Right.
Yeah.
So, one is that you can say, like, just in the same way that she might only be able to come from clitoral stimulation,
right,
or from, you know, some other thing, or she can't come unless her nipples are being pinched or something like that, like whatever her trick is. It's just like, hey, I don't really come from penetration. I, you know, this is the way that I come, and, you know, and I'm happy with this, you know, right. and here, if you want to be involved with it, like, here's what you can do to help.
Okay.
So one, I'd say that.
I like that.
And then the other way is to just say, like, to remind them that they have had experiences where they've had sex and they haven't come. And,
that's a good point.
Yeah. You know, yeah. and just to say, like, look, you know that you enjoyed it still, that you had a good time. It wasn't their fault, right, that you didn't come. It's like, it's not your fault either. It's like,
I would just, you definitely know? Words of affirmation to also just make sure she knows you still had a really good time.
Yeah, right. I would definitely do that.
But I'm not going to lie.
I love this. I mean, you can also spin it as like, I didn't come, and that means we can keep going.
I would take pride about that. And then, but I would get that not like a it would be kind of a negative reaction. Like, how come you ain't come yet? And I'm like, I mean,
I ain't going to lie.
I'm like, I'm sorry.
When a man take long to come, I'll be like, literally, we'll be having sex, and this is back when I was a ho-ho, but like, I'd be
now just one, but
now
before
I'm just
it was Christmas time before.
Yeah, I'm the ho-ho-ho, you know what I mean? But back when I was really fucking, like, we would literally be in the middle of sex, and I'd be like, you must fuck bitches without condoms, and that's what the problem is. You a dirty dick? Do you need to take the condom off to come? And literally, he'd be on top,
that's,
and I'd be like, I'd literally be like, it's because it ain't raw, huh? Like, I'm getting tired now,
but
and you still haven't come.
In their defense,
now that I know,
same for me.
It's fucked up. It's fucked
if you're
up
used
to make a man feel bad too.
A relationship, like, if you're used to having relationship sex, like, I used a condom with someone new recently, and I remember thinking, like, damn, I don't know this nigga like that. Like, I can't be, you know what I'm saying? Like, I got a whole man.
And I'm not gonna lie,
so
I can't just
take this shit off, but at the same time, I was like, this is why I know I'm not enjoying it too much.
And even that was the conversation just had too, because my man, we talked about the sex club, NSFW, and I've let him play with girls, and he's like, there's a guy there that has already asked permission for him to play with me, and he just really thinks I'm like being shy about not wanting to bring a guy in the room because he thinks I'm going to think that he thinks, right, I'm different and all this stuff. And I really told him, like, even though I kind of do want to do like a couple swap, I'm trying to set it up actually with one of my old niggas, because now he's single. But he's sending me videos with a bitch. I said, oh, my man will allow us all to play, so maybe we should set it up. But I'm just like, there's no way I can fuck you raw.
Right.
So I'm also just thinking,
you used
like
to love and talk about condom dick, condom
dick. It is, but now that I have just one partner, a part of me does not want to go where maybe this condom now, my pH will be fucked up. He's someone else. My nigga does not unbalance me. So a part of me doesn't
unbalance. It's a Libra.
You know what I mean? My shit, not only is my scale balanced, this pH is balanced.
Yes.
And so I have fear in having sex with someone else, even if a condom is used. We know them condoms be fucking shit up.
Honestly, to that advice though, I would say, like, even because a condom, you've got to really find what works for your body, truthfully.
Right, right.
Like, we can't just think, like, a raw dick would be better for a pH than condom.
Oh,
because
I don't think that.
Because that's not the truth. It's just that you guys truly have just normalized, right? Like, when you start fucking for someone for a while, it just becomes,
just him. I don't even sex niggas no more.
Okay, girl.
I swear to God, niggas out here calling me friend because I don't send them news no more.
Wow.
And I was like, damn. I said, why the emphasis on friend? He said, you don't watch me bust nuts no more. You don't send me pictures. You don't send me news. I said, I have a whole nigga now. Right. I'm sorry. Like, I don't care about you.
Well, who happened to Mandy with the wig?
Let me hear it. Shut up. Anyways,
remember. Nah, but I was going to say condom, making sure that you find a condom you like. Mm. So I ain't really want
to be
a
woman, not the man. Yes, the man has to matter too. But that's the thing too. We just be letting these niggas anything.
Yeah. You bring the condom you like. When I was in LA, I knew I had a feeling I might get some dick, and I did. And I was like, okay, so I know I'm going to bring my own condoms. I like Skin, but
yes,
Lifestyles,
right? They're the best.
Those are my
They really are.
My shit.
They really are.
give us an ad. So I love them.
Your ad can go right here.
so that this can go right here.
But no, to be fair, and guys, we're not being paid for this. That is probably one of the best, not only for a woman, but they have all of these different options.
Yes. Yeah.
There's ribbed, there's...
Like the Magnums just have a weird smell.
The Magnums
smell.
Are awful.
Niggas are obsessed
Stop
with them.
Stop pulling out that gold wrapper, because as soon as y'all niggas really pull it out, we be like, fuck, the room about to smell. Mm-hmm. You gonna think it's me.
No,
my pussy
not.
About to smell when you leave. Like, it's just gonna be lingering.
You
I
have
fucking
to bring your
shit,
own
bro.
Condoms. And I think that once you find a condom that matches your body, you just have to be honest. And I was like, listen, I was like, oh, you use those? Well, let me be clear. I do not. Yeah. I had a feeling this would happen.
This is what we're using tonight.
And so...
Right.
Whatever. But I ain't gonna lie. We ended up using the Magnum, even though I ain't want to.
You annoying. Just shut up. She did this whole speech. She did this whole speech to be a hypocrite. Anyway, let's get into the oral decision real quick.
I don't know what happened. And skin was there.
I hate you. And then I was sick. I know. Just shut up. Because you just thought, but I thought you were speech, preaching and you
but
not.
But the speech that I gave, you should give too. It's just you shouldn't succumb to... A man.
Uh-huh.
He was just so
right,
dominant that I was like, all right, man, if you like it.
Sit your ass down. All right, so horrible decision. I do want to talk about if you guys watch Bonding, if you guys are into BDSM, we brought up mad regular vanilla fucking floggers, paddles, basic shit. We just brought up the chastity belt.
Chastity devices, yeah.
The chastity devices.
That's not that basic.
But it's not that basic. It's a little hard to find. I want to ask you, what is... the most expensive contraption that you have at your studio that you've either rented out and had to teach people? Like, what's the most expensive sex toy you have?
One of the most expensive things is actually a chastity device.
Really?
I was going to say the Sibian ride, I thought would be.
I don't have one of those.
Oh, okay.
What is but the Sibian, it's a female masturbation machine. So it's basically like a saddle. Shake. And so you sit on it and it vibrates or
it makes your whole pussy just open up. Because I couldn't imagine... That doesn't make sense to me, but...
But the chastity cage that I have, can I say who makes it or where it's from?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
the and y'all, your ad can go here, too.
Isn't it like the from the olden days?
No. These are custom made in Canada by a company called Steelworks. Steelworks Extreme, I think it is. And it's W-E-R-K-S. And it is a $4,000 chastity cage. It is made out of titanium. And... He's made ones that were $20,000. $20,000 people spend.
She said, why?
Lock.
Genuinely, like, why?
Why do they spend that money?
Where does the cost come from?
Yeah.
Because it's made out of titanium, because these are like custom made and custom however made. Intricate. And yeah. These are
the locks.
Bespoke. So, however intricate, they'll be kinds that have like, urethral plugs that go in that, you know, have containers, titanium.
Urethral like catheters?
Yeah, basically. So because you wear it full time. And so it's so that way you can still urinate.
I thought you just have catheters put in the.
I just thought you had to hold. It's just showing us.
It's a short. Oh. It's a short. There you go. So
that's actually really
so that's,
nice looking.
Yeah, that one's called like the Shandamask. Shandamask, I think. Or that's a crucible. Okay.
Oh,
but something like that
alchemist
is going to be.
So it goes around the balls too.
Yes, and you know.
Ooh, what is that? A fucking clock?
It's a steampunk. Yeah. So
wow.
See if you see one that's called like the creature. I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, what the fuck right do you there. Do their goddamn website too? You know everything.
You have this one, right?
So no, I don't have that one.
That looks cool.
I have two.
The exoskeleton
cage, the beast. Yeah. Ooh, I'm gonna start calling Dick's beast, bitch. I like that. You don't like that.
But
no
the,
beauty.
But the idea is that they're custom made. They're made for long-term wear. There are people who wear theirs 24/7,
to work
365.
I pulled up really quick the history of chastity belts. Ooh. Does anyone have a guess of the year?
Probably.
The 1800s.
I would say more like 1600s.
The 1800s.
No, before that?
1700s.
1150.
Whoa,
oh.
Nice. Oh, yeah. That'd be before Christ?
I think so. But it's not, it says it's not clear. Some believe they were made in the 14th century in Italy, but other references have the similar device used in the Crusades, Roman and Greek times, and 11 BC. In Paris, women were forced to wear iron chastity belts. One version had an iron hoop covered with velvet, and the hoop had notches so the man could tighten and loosen it depending on his mood.
Yeah.
Chastity belts were often made in only one side. Larger women were forced to wear them and suffered the pain no matter the fit. In the 16th and 17th centuries, a popular belt in Europe included an iron girdle, which had a circumference of 32 inches. The area surrounding the hips, basically, you'd put it on like underwear.
Like
almost.
A panty. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's...
And there's
that's
small so holes for women.
That, yeah. And what's crazy is not until this show started and I started like learning things, even you, like all of your devices, I have no idea who, how, where they come from. And... when we think of chastity devices, we do. We think of like a lock and key panty for a woman. Right. And so the idea like...
The cage that, was the one they were talking about during the Crusades. Was for women, sorry.
Most of the chastity devices started out for women. And then eventually it became for men. And it was to, you know, just prevent them from masturbation or prevent them from...
What would be, in your opinion, your kinkiest sex toy? If that's like one that you're like... Okay.
After we just saw one called the steampunk.
I mean, I think that it gets kinkier than a chastity belt. Like,
I mean, I would say,
like, even if you see bonding, there's a contraption where someone is levitated in a completely leather mask and
right.
Oh, so suspended.
Suspended.
Yeah.
So that's a suspension.
Levitating. It works.
So it's one the of the things right. that happens in season two of bonding is there's a scene. There's a breath play scene.
Yes.
In which someone is great. In a sleep sack, which is it's like a sleeping bag that places up, and he has a gas mask on, and there's a hose that goes from the gas mask to a bottle, and it's called a bubbler bottle. A bubbler bottle. And the bubbler bottle basically is like a bong where air gets filtered through whatever fluid is in the bottle.
Does it look like this?
That's what the sleep sack kind of looks like, but you should probably Google like leather sleep sack.
My first time seeing a sleep sack was real sex when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm not going to lie. This is to me, that is pretty kinky.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie.
So,
and I know we talk about breath play with fucking pillowcases and
right.
a man putting his hand on your neck, but this right. is an extensive. Mm.
Yes. So what happens? So what happens in the bonding scene is he is in what's called full sensory deprivation. So he's listening. He's listening to Brahms. So sensory deprivation is when it's the depriving of the senses. So you're blindfolded. It's a form of sensory right. deprivation. If you have a gag in your mouth, it's a form of sensory deprivation. If you are, you know, hooded so that you can't hear, your ears are plugged. That's also sensory deprivation. And he can't move either. So he's like fully immobilized in the sleep sack. And his breath is being controlled by this bubbler bottle. And
now,
every breath gets filtered through the fluid that's in the bubbler bottle.
Do they come?
So that's pretty freaky.
Do they come in
after, before, or in it? Or do they just...
Oh, good question. Yeah, do they come inside of that?
I think it all depends on the dom.
Okay.
But for many, honestly, have you ever done the... flotation tanks.
I never do none of this. No.
Oh,
this
that
is,
ain't sexual.
No, it's not.
What is a flotation tank?
Vinny does it. It's like a therapy. Release.
Yeah, it's a therapeutic thing. So Uh-oh. It's like you go. It's basically like a salt.
It's like a tub.
Salt tub. Salt
and they
water
encapsulate
tub.
You in it.
Right.
And it's dark.
Yes. And so you float. So it's weightlessness.
Oh.
So it's also kind of similar
like
to just
science, and I ain't
to
interested.
Just like being in a hammock. And so, okay. you know, like the feeling of being in a hammock when you're just sort of like
hanging. It's your mom's sack. You know. No, that's not it.
No.
All right.
Sorry. I was thinking of normal.
Oh, right. my God.
I'm looking up.
It's not quite like that. If you look up flotation tank.
Flotation tank.
Flotation tank.
Y'all can see this on the screen.
I mean, they could, but if you want to embarrass me, I was looking up flotation devices. And that's how y'all feel.
We are looking at an orange ring around the rosy.
So a flotation tank is a spa thing. It's, you know, like you go and there's like a place on Flatiron that
there
I
it is.
Oh, okay.
That's what and, I meant to search.
And so you float. And so it's the same thing. So it's like, it's weightlessness and it's very, very meditative.
That's cool.
So it can be very relaxing. And so I often say like for people who do that kind of sensory deprivation, you know, immobilization bondage, it's almost like taking the best 3-hour nap. Like in 30 minutes, you will have the best 3-hour nap you've ever had. And you'll come out like not feeling groggy, like, oh my gosh, I've just been sleeping all day. But instead you feel refreshed.
Mm.
You feel relaxed.
I'm about to book one of them things.
And the reason why. So it's like.
I can be in there with my wig.
Yeah. So, well, you can be in the BDSM version with your wig.
Oh,
but your shit might be floating with you.
Right.
I have bobby pins to lay it down. Thank you very much.
But the reason why it works is just like, you know, when you meditate and you like, you try to meditate and you just like, you know, and your brain just won't stop. Well, part of it, you know, and then you're like, oh my gosh, I gotta itch my nose. I gotta like, you know, I gotta move. I gotta whatever. Well, when you can't move, when you can't scratch because you're held in place, then your brain just like, it tries to tell you to do things and then it's not getting any response from you. So then it's just like, okay, well, clearly you don't need me. And your brain just goes and it's, you trip basically. It is
less
just,
oxygen. I'm cool on that.
Pardon?
Is it because it's less oxygen?
No, you get all your oxygen, but it's just it's like
flotation tank.
Yeah, right. And even in the flotation tank, it's the idea.
You were talking about the tube?
You can, but I'm saying just like in any kind of, whether you're in the flotation tank or if you're in this.
No way, you don't get less oxygen, Troy.
Pardon?
You're telling me you don't get less oxygen when you're.
Well, with the tube, it's compromised. It's a little bit less.
You're sipping through a straw. My fucking mouth is huge.
We know.
I'm a mouth breather.
Did you say you're a mouth breather?
Dude, you should see me in a mask.
Oh, wow.
It's terrible.
Wow. Yeah.
I did want to make sure we haven't really, I think we've been doing a lot of hoe confessions. I did want to get back to our whole mail because
okay, good.
I think that you would really have, and you know, I don't know if that's even shady. So let me not. Because it is called
Manny, that was
hoes.
Shady.
It is for the old hoes. But I'm an old hoe. I told you, I'm in my 30s now. I feel like I'm an old
hoe.
That's
not even...
What?
Think you're 30 years old?
Well, I know. She gets on me like, no, bitch, 30 is not old. Shut the fuck up. But even it was crazy as we just did a Patreon episode too. And she crying about turning 30. Bruh. She's like, our older listeners
are gonna fucking hate us.
I get it.
Talking about... 30, oh my God.
Because we got a lot of, like, I think a larger demographic than I've noticed was late 30s for horrible decisions.
We do. That's we cool. have a...
Because people, cause even they when they jobs, meet me, bitch. Their first thing to say, you be acting like you old, bitch.
I'm like, They be checking us. So this one comes again. If you guys want to submit a home mail to us, please, please, please send it on over to horribledecisions@gmail.com. This one is, the subject line reads, old hoes. Hey guys, I love your show. I love the sexual freedom that you guys display without the guilt. I have a question and maybe y'all can answer it. Where do old hoes go when they're not fucking for cash anymore? I mean, they're in the sex service industry and there comes a point where they hang up the cleats. Where do they go? Do they turn into garden gnomes? It's not a new industry and these jobs have been around probably since the beginning of the time, but where do they go? Is there an old ho home? A retirement community for hoes? Help me out. Thanks. And I'm not going to say the name.
Real estate.
Look. Okay,
well,
yes.
Yeah, but also, why do you have to retire?
Right.
I like that. Talk to us about it.
Because so remember the, I don't know, there was this viral video that went around recently. Where some woman, an older woman, was just like,
grandma,
hey, just come see someone to fuck me. It's getting ridiculous.
You know, that is the video, right?
Please come in the morning time.
You know what? And this is why I wanted to talk about this too, because you said that you've even just been in this space for as long as you've been in. But for whatever reason, even when we talk about strippers, there is an idea that you can't do this forever. I can't fuck forever. Of course I can fuck forever.
Exactly.
So yeah, I guess as you age, I do want to know, does it change? Because of course our minds have changed even with this show, as far as how we view sex, what we think of sex, our partners. How have you seen your mind change over time? And if someone came to you and wanted to maybe be a dominatrix or wanted help to get into the BDSM community, would you ever be like, you too old?
Never.
Or has that's never been a conversation, right?
Never.
Do people feel like they're too old to enter?
I mean, as long as you have
I
the desire.
See feeling like
yeah,
too
then
old.
You might feel you're too old, but you were not too old. I mean, I remember there was this one dom that I met even, who was in France, who she was in her late 70s.
Wow.
And
really?
Still working. And in fact, there was a dom in New Jersey named Mistress Mir, who is this legendary black dom. Like she was the black leather dom queen for years. Like the New York scene revolved around her, Mr. Smear.
That's great to hear.
And, yeah, I didn't know that.
And she was domming well into her 70s as well.
She did?
I don't know now.
Oh, I was going to say rest in peace.
I don't think so, actually.
Imagine if you went to the grave, like, no, I didn't switch up, bitch.
But I do love, too, because even in, and this will probably be my last reference to it, because I know if you guys haven't seen it yet or you have, you know, I love, too, that the lead in Bonding was like, fuck masters, fuck getting, you know, a degree. I love what I'm doing. I make a lot of money. Why would I quit? And I think there is still just this idea that this isn't real, even though there's so many people that are like Miss B Nasty, bro, just her house, like the things that you buy. And
I think it's societally, we expect that we need to slow down or stop doing something.
Or that you're hoping we hit a different point at a young time in your life.
I was literally talking to an actress today who is in her mid 70s, late 70s. Mm-hmm. And she has a younger partner. And she was telling me about Emmy winning. And she was telling me about a scene that she did, you know, for the show that she won an Emmy for. She said she was 57 years old when she did this scene. And it was something about where she was saying to, you know, this young man who worked for her. And I guess, I don't know, there was some sort of thing like where he was suing her or something. I don't know. But whatever it was, she's just like, I could give you an erection from all the way across on the other side of the room. And I don't even have to touch you. And the way that she said it and did it, because she goes like, you know, I could give you an erection from all the way across the room and I don't have to touch you. Stand up, Eric. And I almost stood up. Just like,
I too am Eric. Troy.
The power that doms have, well, it's like, it literally is a fucking mental fuck. Like, even when you get into your, like, this is, you know, I like to call your role, but I'd be like, oh shit, because you're so, you know, you're just so nice and, you know.
I think that's the best thing too about meeting sex workers and or doms or anyone who's just in the industry.
Educators, it's like, all of them.
Huh. I didn't really think you would do this, right? It's like knowing that it's not the person you think it'll look like. And or the expectation that we have of someone
I love that.
In that job.
Y'all know we on YouTube. Y'all have to start even just looking at the guests that we come, because people like never would I like
Jasmine and King Noir. They look like sex.
Well, they do.
Sorry,
they do. But
when they pick the kids up from school, they don't. But I probably want to fuck them.
Yeah, no, they look. They ooh,
no
sex.
Offense. Not saying you don't look like sex. I just think that they can't even help it.
Yeah, no. We just said why I feel like does this we can man own a shirt? Like, I can't even imagine that man in a turtleneck.
Nah, they were destined for sex.
But like we just had Tiana on the show, and we've had just so many people that when they come in, when they open their mouths, of course. And it's so weird too that this idea of sex is almost like, oh, you have to look slutty or you have to be this. And again, this is something that we're going to do until we die. We're all going to have sex. So even the idea that people do put this end date on when someone should stop having sex or dating around, it's sucky.
Also, I think the freakiest people are the ones that you would not even expect it.
Yeah. That part. Y'all wouldn't expect me to be freaky, right?
Don't. So please let the people know where they can find you, Troy. Because.
What? No. No. I could.
You got a King Noir Jasmine vibe.
All right.
You look like I
am. Edit, don't be over there. Ain't nobody asked for your input for this one, okay? Okay?
I ain't saying nothing.
No, is there do you have anything that you are, I wouldn't even say selling, but a place you'd want people to find you or engage with you?
Well, so a couple of things. So I have oliviatroy.com, which is just my website. So I'm an intimacy coordinator and a writer and a consultant. So that is one of the things. But then the other thing is that I also have started a consulting group called Reps on Set. And Reps on Set is all about advocating for better representation of marginalized and underrepresented people.
And guys, we just got a new job. We just got hired. We didn't even know till she just said that she had this agency. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of that.
Troy, can I tell you, whenever, like, no bullshit, like, for this entire season, I'm working with a great network who is honoring me to hire who I want. But like literally yesterday on our horrible decisions page, I said, I need someone who's a PA that's worked in film and TV that's black or brown.
Yeah.
And I had to do it on fucking Instagram. Like, wow. There's really not an arena. Like, people think that I do this shit and it's crazy. I was like, I need a DP who's black and brown. And people write me like, hey, I'm white, but I didn't ask for you. Right. And not saying that white people aren't great at what they do. I'm sure they are. It's just that I'm seen it a million times.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's dope to know that you have something like
so,
that.
Right. So it is for both crew as well as for the stories that are being told.
Mm.
So how often have you, well, look.
What fucking grandma?
All right.
So, because we all, I told you, that's the old thing.
But like, we do. Okay, so like how many times have you seen lesbian sex on a show and so like, that's not how it's
done. I'm gonna do it a lot.
Right. So what Reps on Set is here to do is one, to make sure that the depiction of LGBTQIA plus sex is authentic, that black sex, black love is.
First off, that's the only one. White people fucking in any movie looks awful. I don't understand. Is that really how white people fuck? Bro, it just be looking so, it be like, and then he come like, white people don't have no stroke game. Like,
fuck some stroke the game having white boys. I'm saying,
I'm sorry, 50 Shades of Grey? My pussy just didn't even moisten.
I'm gonna tell you right now who did that. Love by Gaspar Noé. That was lit ass sex. Mm. They were all white
people.
Maybe Carl Guzman is half black.
I don't know.
But it's Zoe Kravitz's ex. But that movie, fuck. They like, ooh, it was good.
I've never watched it the whole way through. If y'all know a film where there is white sex depicted in a way that is sexy, please let me know. Send it my way. I'm sorry. I ain't never seen it. I ain't never seen it, bro.
Was it sexy?
Yeah, I'm actually trying to think of it myself. So it's like, but it's like, wait a
second. Nah, I gotta be some good white dick out there.
You had them, but they wasn't on TV, is what I'm saying.
Right. I'm fighting for y'all.
Well,
but I
hold on. What about Scandal?
Oh, you talking about
but
the
it
president?
Doesn't count because Carrie's in it.
Oh, right, but okay. And Carrie's black. She's gonna make it look
right.
Sick.
She makes
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
So wait, he never fucked Melly.
It's like Black Eyed Peas. He made everybody else look like they was on P. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't for real. You can't.
All right. Okay. And what is that website?
That is Reps On Set. RepsOnSet.com.
We're going to make sure all of that is in the description of this episode. Troy, thank you so very much.
Yes,
this
Troy.
Is so much fun. I'm so glad we finally did it.
I'm glad you came. Oh, that's right. If you're enjoying the YouTube and you want some lit YouTube, come visit me at WTF Media Studios. Eden is doing our video and our clips that you guys have
and he
seen.
Ain't gonna talk and judge you like he does us.
I don't judge you.
All right.
But you can pay for a B mic if you want a producer during the show to pull up shit and like clips and, you know, references. We also have that as an add-on. And yeah, check us out. WTF Media Studios.
Yes,
I could do it too.
And she cannot. she's still learning. And as you guys know, we release 3 bonus episodes every month for you if you are a patron on Patreon. So go on over to patreon.com/horrible decisions for as little as $5 a month. Not only are you supporting us, but you are supporting getting more content. Does that make sense? Not mm-hmm. really. Yeah, kind of, sort of. Yeah.
All of it, man.
All of it.
We got to pay this motherfucker in somehow.
All of it. So you guys are about to hear a 5-minute bonus clip from one of our bonus episodes. Troy, we want to thank you once again for coming on. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And if you haven't seen it yet, go ahead and check out Bonding Season 2 on Netflix. And Billions. I'm still on Season 1 trying to get through it. It's one of those where you actually got to pay attention.
You do.
And I don't be paying attention to shit, but some dick. I pay attention to that. Well, I'm sorry. All right, guys. This has been yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. Bye.
But here's what happened. We've been seeing the hashtag Free Britney for a long time. The conspiracy theory that Britney was under mind control and all kinds of shit were coming out. But really, what it was about something called a conservatorship, which basically means back in 08, her father had complete control over her assets and her business affairs. There was a median between them, which was another lawyer who resigned from that role 2 years ago. And then it was her father just being the sole conservator. And at that time, we started to see Britney put up weird videos, her residency in Vegas stopped, like, things just kind of diminished from there. And we've known for quite some time that something's been up with Britney, but we really don't know what. So the documentary gets into what conservatorship is and basically how Britney has been used and abused through friends, family, and under the public eye with all this scrutiny. So we're going to get digging into a little bit of that. But as always in the cinema, we talk about a celebrity we'd want to fuck. And I thought this one made sense because we could pick a boy band or a girl group from that time, obviously Beyonce, but like, who would you?
Oh, from that time. It's so crazy because.
But you got to go white, Mandy. You can't go like.
Yeah, but Black Street. But what's crazy is I just talked about this too. Yeah, no, right? The fact that I'm now looking at this man from an adult lens, the idea that I really took down all of my posters because Justin and Britney started dating, and I did think that Justin was supposed to be somebody for me. If I go back to boy bands, I would say even as far as the partner we got to see him as on TV, and if I have to go white and the pink dick route, I'm going to say Nick Lachey.
Wow.
Who used to be with Jessica Simpson and he was a part of the boy band. What was it? 98 Degrees? 48 mm-hmm. Degrees?
He was cute. Like
that. He was cute, but I just thought he was masculine and he always like just giggled at dumbass Jessica Simpson. But I don't know. There's just something about him. If I had to go white, that's where I would go. What about you?
Mine was Nick Carter only because.
Oh, ew.
I loved the Backstreet Boys so much.
Damn. You know what's crazy?
Then I saw him at a rest stop with my mom and I couldn't speak. And then I was like so frozen. And then we got in the car. I wanted a picture with him, obviously. I got his autograph because that was cool at the time. And then we got in the car. My mom was like, damn, we could have taken a picture with the disposable cameras they sold. And I was crying, bitch. I was like, why didn't you think of it?
You know what's crazy? Even when I look back at it, even when I look at their old videos, for whatever reason, Backstreet Boys to me always just seemed so old. They just looked old. I felt like they never looked young.
Because the goatees, three of them.
Yeah. I mean, fucking AJ always looked old.
Fucking look old. He kinda...
And then you had the Howie. Oh, Howie always looked 30 plus.
Wait, is so, that Howie that I'm talking about?
It was Howie had the little, the brown hair.
Oh, yeah. And then, I'm talking about
And then
Howie
even
too.
Brian. Brian was the lead singer. Brian never really looked young.
Everybody.
He actually really did look like a werewolf. Even in that fucking video, it made every sense for him to be
that
a
werewolf. Why do we like rock girl body?
Body right.
Now, Spice Girls, that was a whole girl group. I loved them all.
This is how I knew that as women, we were ever changing. Because the Spice Girl in which I wanted to be changed almost every year that I was a fan of theirs. I went from wanting to be Baby Spice, then realized, okay, this isn't me. Sporty Spice, bitch, I play basketball. I'm Sporty Spice. Then it was like, no, Scary. That's who I look more like. And I'm not like any of these white bitches. But then also, Ginger was just sexy. I never thought I looked like Posh, which is crazy because we have this show now about sex and she was supposed to ooze sex appeal. Posh to me never had a personality, never spoke. I never cared to be Posh.
I think that was the point with her though.
That the point?
Yeah. I watched Spice World. That was one of my favorite movies to play over and over in the VCR. Same. I think they wanted her to like come off like that, which... Like I
guess it's just not us because I think we're just so vocal. Even though we ooze sex sometimes, I just felt like to me she was nothing but arm candy, and I was like, "Bitch, you have no personality."
I loved her. Doing? I just loved how much of a little cunt she is. But I will say my favorite was Scary Spice and Baby Spice.
Yeah.
I think the baby girl, we just identified with femininity in a way with her. But like, that was my first concert I ever went to. I lived in Miami with my mom and my mom was late as fuck. And we missed like half the show. And I remember.
Wait, you got to go. I wish. I'm not going to lie. If they were to go back on tour, I would definitely buy a Spice Girls ticket. My very first concert. And if we're talking about this era that we lived, it came a little later than Spice Girls and NSYNC and Backstreet Boys. But my very first concert, my mom drove me to Tampa and I got really, really good tickets at
B2K?
Scream Tour.
It was Scream Tour. It was
Bow Wow, B2K, IMX, and I think Mario or maybe Lloyd, but it was that era. And yeah, it was amazing. I had a great time.
Damn, bro.
And then the Unleashed tour was second. I went to the Unleashed tour at UCF. I was a huge Bow Wow.
I went to the UCF one. I remember that.
I was a huge Bow Wow fan. Like, Bow Wow was supposed to take my virginity.
Bro, Bow Wow was the best.
Nah, I think now he's not.
No one ever watched, what was the movie? Not Step. What the fuck? You got served. When I watched You Got Served, I wanted to fuck all of them. I was like, I think I'm a hoe.